Years ago, when I was a seminarian, I got tricked into trying to preach about the Trinity. And believe me, there are very few seasoned preachers that relish the idea of preaching today. That's why they always give it to the seminarian. They trick the seminarian. Because how does a preacher take an apparently contradictory and paradoxical doctrine that has caused more controversy than any other in the church's history, state and explain it in a concise way, give some vivid and creative analogies and examples, and make it about 10 minutes long? The answer to this question would sound like the buzzer at the end of a Warriors game. The Trinity is an age-old mystery that flummoxed early church leaders so much so that they called the First Council of Nicaea in 325, and it was convened. One of the big reasons was to debate this issue. The council did settle some things, kind of, but only after huge arguments, including our beloved St. Nicholas calling the Bishop Arius of Alexandria a heretic and, yes, that's right, slapping him in the face. Yes, it was a Santa slap. Reading about the Trinity can be like running around in a maze. And that's why so many people for 2,000 years are happy to call it a mystery. John Wesley famously quoted about the Trinity, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and then I will show you a man that can comprehend the triune God." I'm not sure what he's talking about, but I'm okay with the mystery, because to me, mystery isn't something that you cannot understand. It's something that you can endlessly understand. For years, artists have tried to depict what they could conceive about the Trinity, and it's always white guys with a dove. And then there's more white guys with an almost invisible dove on God's shoulders, and then a really weird white guys with a dove, and then this is my favorite, white guys tuning in the big game. With a dove. But the Eastern Church has had a different way of looking and thinking about the Trinity. Rublev's famous icon showing the three angels hosted by Abraham was painted in the 15th century, and it is revered as one of the most important depictions of the Trinity. Richard Rohr, who has heard of Richard Rohr? If you haven't, then we need to do a book study about Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr, the theologian and writer, writes in his book, The Divine Dance, that Rublev's icon of the Trinity shows the Holy One in the form of three, eating and drinking in infinite hospitality, in utter enjoyment between themselves. If we take the depiction of God and the Trinity seriously, we have to say, in the beginning was the relationship. The gaze between the three shows the deepest respect between them as they all share from a common bowl. Notice the spirit, that's the character in green, points toward the open and fourth place at the table. Is the Holy Spirit inviting, offering, and clearing a space? At the front of the table, there appears to be a little rectangular hole. It's hard to see in this rendition. But most people pass right over it. But some art historians believe that the remaining glue on the original icon indicates that there was once perhaps a little mirror glued onto the icon itself. And Rohr is quick to assert that the empty place is for the observer. It's for us. It's for all of us in creation. He believes that we are invited to sit at the divine table. Yet, as the mirror seems to have been lost over the centuries from this icon, we too have lost our understanding of who the Trinity is. He believes we're at a critical time in which we are in need of understanding the meaning and power of the Trinity in our lives. He writes that what God as Trinity demonstrates is the actual and wondrous shape of the divine reality, which then replicates itself in us. Instead of God watching life from afar and judging it like an old man, a white man with a big long beard, how about thinking of God as being inherent in life itself, the life force of everything? Rohr writes that this Trinitarian revolution, as he calls it, reveals God as always involved instead of the in and out deity that leaves most of humanity orphaned much of the time. The triune God allows you, impels you to live easily with God everywhere and all the time. In the budding of a plant, the smile of a gardener, the tireless determination of a research scientist, the loving nuzzling of horses, the downward flow of every mountain stream. In this concept, even suffering and death are part of this divine dance in which all persons of the Trinity and all of us participate. Together, we all cooperate in the generosity that connects everything to everything. For centuries, the debate has ebbed and flowed about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how the three are one, but still three. But when contemplating the Trinity, Richard Rohr would say that the principle of one is lonely. The principle of two is oppositional and moves you towards a preference. But the principle of three is inherently moving, dynamic, and generative. When we start trying to make God into three, we become stuck in a paradox. But when we think of the three persons of God as movement and growth in a circular dance, then we have a fuller picture of what the Trinity could mean. The Trinitarian notion of dynamic God is one of a never-ending stream of love. Nothing we can do can mess it up as hard as we try as humans here on earth. The Father is being itself, the source of the flow, the creator. The Son is the Christ in creation itself, and in Jesus, the personal form, the God that is alongside us. And the Holy Spirit is the God within us, like implanted hope. The Trinity then is both the receiving and extending of friendship because the dance is connected. It's all about relationship and it's ever flowing. Every day, hanging out on the edges of miracles are the sadnesses of the world. Of them all, the greatest is the disconnection that some of us have with each other, with communities, and the barriers that are placed between humans and the Creator, the God beside us, and the God within us. As people that believe in the power of hope, we should be encouraged to rediscover our relationship with the triune God, a relationship that is in progress from the beginning of time. It's a dance of love that, as we talked about last week, we are swept into even if we can't dance. Trinitarian life is mutual self-giving love that we are destined to share. So dive head first into this mystery that you can endlessly understand. The mystery we profess every Sunday, the mystery we'll profess in just a couple of seconds. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always working in and for and through and around and with you forever and ever. Amen.